We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
How's that going to change the way it looks with Josh Allen pulling the trigger? Are we going to see more different guys catching the football?
If Chase Claypool is uncoverable and is catching everything in training camp in the preseason, he's going to be there week one as the fourth wide receiver.
Mike Danger.
They are gripping right now if they're Yankee fans.
They are lost.
Gene Battaglia.
This is screaming for a managerial change.
Cleveland Guardians selected Oregon State second baseman Travis Bazzana with the first overall pick of the 2024 MLB draft.
The National League starter in the All-Star game and the man that we all want to see on the mound in the Midsummer Classic. Congratulations to Paul.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Gino, we were literally a couple of inches away from losing an entire guest list on David Letterman in 1993 over the course of this weekend. Dr. Ruth, mm-hmm. Richard Simmons, and of course, Donald Trump. The idea that it was a tsunami of loss this weekend.
I know. You have others. Like, did you see Jacoby Jones pass?
I remember Jacoby Jones being so impactful that first season with the Baltimore Ravens. And I also remember my daughter's cheering for him on Dancing with the Stars after he had that big Super Bowl performance.
Yeah. Forgot about him. 40 years old. We don't know the cause of death. Jacoby Jones, he passed away in Houston over the weekend. And this one hits. Man, because like her and I are the same age. Shannon Doherty's gone.
90210.
Yeah, that's... Look, and she had this kind of reputation, right? She was the bad girl coming up, and she couldn't get along with her coworkers, or she had an attitude. But, look, whatever the case may be, when it became apparent to Doherty that maybe this battle with breast cancer wasn't going to go her way, she did something interesting. She started to document, and she started a podcast. And, look, the podcast... not self-serving, because a lot of celebrity podcasts are about me and my project and me. No, this is actually quite sad. It goes quite deep. And the one story of Danger, the thing that stuck out to me, she tells a story of selling her property in Nashville. That's where she wanted to retire. And how, selling it now is prudent. She's setting up her family, but it's also giving up on a dream, knowing she's never going to see it. Mike Danger, my hope is that we all get enough time and we make use of our time wisely.
Yes.
Yeah. Is your wife like a fan of Shannon Doherty? I mean, that would be what I would say to her.
I don't know. I mean, I think my wife would say we're spending time together working on something around the house, that's time well spent.
All right, fair.
I can't argue that. Shannon Doherty's, that one was a little bit of a jolt. Who was the other one? Was it Luke Perry that died all those years ago, too?
Yes.
The cast of 90210, yeah. Just dwindling away. And this is, stars that we grew up watching and paying a lot of attention to. Shannon Doherty was, she also did that show with the witches, with...
Charm.
Melissa Milano, right.
Yeah, and then as the story goes, Melissa Milano said either it's her or me. So that apparently is a true story, reading about it over the weekend. The one, though, if I can go back to Richard Simmons for a second, What's interesting about him, his later years, like, he just disappeared. Like, normally you don't see that. Like a celebrity at least will keep some, or somebody will keep some sort of social media presence, but he just, when he was done, that was it. I don't know what that was all about.
I also think that it was interesting that with the passing of Dr. Ruth, like, you, I mean, when she was at the peak of her popularity, you know, giving out sex advice and talking
on the radio. Yes. That's where it started. Yeah.
But the knock on her was, what does this old bat know? She's just, you know, she's well past her prime. That was 35 years ago. And she it was right. around this that long.
Okay. Put my hand up in the air. I'm like, wait, she was still with us?
Right.
I don't know.
Right. I'm going to ask for a little leniency this week.
Why?
I know that some of our regulars may already have their hands on it, Gino, but I'm going to request that Friday becomes Play College Football 25 Day. We just go ahead and do work if you need to do work. I'm serious. It looks so good. It might be the most anticipated sports video game release of all time. And I've been immersing myself in gameplay footage. The level of detail, as you would expect, is insane. And with all of the options that are available to a player in Dynasty mode, let's just say I'm not going to be able to make it in on Friday. Maybe I'm coming down with something. I might have my hands full, and no, I'm not sponsored by EA, but feel free to get at me and make things right, Electronic Arts.
All right, so I have a lot of questions about this. Is it just the Power 5 conferences, or does it go a little bit deeper? Can you play the UB Bulls? Can you be? Does it go to the subdivision?
You can play UB Bulls. I don't know that it goes subdivision.
Ah,
yeah. I think it's a group of five. And what's intriguing to me is I've been hearing people, you know, for the entire time that the game has been gone, we miss Dynasty mode, online Dynasty mode. Thor, our guest last week, I believe last week at this time, was telling us how excited he was for online Dynasty mode to return. And you can build your own college football program online with your buddies, go head to head. You know, like, it's fantasy football on steroids when you consider how you can build a program as its head coach or start as an offensive or defensive coordinator and just work your way up through the ranks. I can't wait. I mean, every bit of content that I've seen around this game looks incredible. And I'm going to request a day on Friday.
This is the last great release, right?
No. What? You mean sports release or video game release?
Video game release.
No, next year.
No, it won't live up to this year.
Grand Theft Auto 6 is out next year.
After being away for what, a decade? That's also part of the story here with college football.
Yeah,
agree. Yeah, that is the story here, where if you love college football and what this will do for the sport for a younger generation, if you're the NFL, are you a little worried here?
Well, you still have Madden. And I think the people that have their hands on it already did a bundle. Like, EA was, threw out a bundle where you could get both Madden and college football together. If you pre-ordered them both together, you would get this as an early release. I didn't go that far because, quite honestly, if I want to play Madden, I'll just pick up Madden from 4 years ago, and it's probably the same video game.
Listen, I'm not going to dump on you or any other gamer. Like, honestly, that's your thing. I'm speaking up for the rest of us. Like, hey, knock yourself out. Have some fun.
What are you going to do if I'm not here on Friday? You going to take a day?
Probably. I'll make some sales calls or do whatever I do here. So I'll check in with you.
All right.
Line up some things here. One thing, more proof that maybe the rest of the world doesn't revolve around the United States. Like, if you were looking for good counter programming right now to baseball, this would have been the time to put the Olympics, right? You would have had the Olympics coming out, and we would be enjoying this all in July, but that's not the case.
I was thinking about that as I was watching the Euro final with my daughters. Like, the next sporting event that they're going to care about as much as they just cared about the Euros is the Olympics. Like, that's the kind of sports fan they are. This is for the casual, right? They appreciate the competition, but they latch on to players and athletes that they know about, and then that will become the story.
Yeah, and like, as far as what I'm interested in, I gotta be honest, I'm not interested in basketball. Does that make it, like, I know we have all these updates about Team USA and Caitlin Clark, will they add her to the team? I'm more interested in track and field,
same,
honestly.
Same. I love the track and field events. I don't get down on gymnastics that much. I'll pay attention to what goes on with basketball, but I expect that we win. You know, like, that's the expectation going in. Soccer will get my attention again, men and women.
Yeah, and I'll watch a little bit of the swimming too. That's always kind of fun watching that, watching them compete. By the way, after Paris, I think a lot of people know this. L.A. on deck, 2028, right? What if I told you not everything is going to be held in L.A. or California, for that matter? Quietly, Olympic softball has been outsourced to Oklahoma City. This is a true story. One of the better players for United States, her name is Natasha Watley, calls this a slap in the face. Yeah, of course it is. I get it. You work your whole life to get to the Olympics, and wait, you're going to be nowhere near the action? You're going to be 1,000 miles away? Organizers, of course, what are they pointing out to here? The cost of getting a softball stadium in L.A. or the in general facility in Southern California ready. Privately, they knew they couldn't draw the 13,000. They will draw in Oklahoma City, probably the best softball venue in the United States. So here's my question, Mike Danger. If we're going to go down this path, is there anything in Rochester we can get in on the act for?
No.
Like, hey, what's your course there? And oh, Riviera, that's cute. How about Oak Hill? Let's put it over here. Heck, I would take Olympic fencing at this point.
Yeah. You go for the opening ceremonies, and you walk in with the rest of your Team USA compatriots, and then you jump on a jet and you go to Oklahoma City. You miss out on the Olympic Village. You miss out on the festivities.
Oklahoma City is in the... is an Olympic city.
Not ideal. I mean, I'm sure the venue is spectacular and playing at that venue will be great, but yeah, that's a bit of a bummer if you're a softball player and you're not in the middle of the action. I mean, I know the world is shrinking and we're all getting closer, but that's a little ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. And I also think, Danger, too, that if this were 30, 40 years ago, this isn't happening. But there are so few countries that are actually bidding on the Olympics. The USOC can just give the double. What are you going to do? We need to like make sure we're not losing our shirt on this.
I also think that there's something to be said for not building the venue that's going to collect dust once the Olympics pull up stake and get out of town. I mean, how many of those eerie pictures do you see of old Olympic sites where nothing is being used? It was constructed for a one-time event, and then it's not usable anymore.
Just go to Rio. Like, you don't have to go back that far. You want to see the spooky stuff, Sarajevo,
yes.
Like in the 80s. That's like, whoa, what happened here? I'm sure, like, you could go, like, you could be in, what do they call them, urban explorers. Like, we could go up to Lake Placid, like, oh, wait, that used to be this.
Here. Right, yeah. I think that's probably what... I mean, it's not like L.A. needs more of that. They've already got enough problems on their hands. They don't need more issues like, let's build a softball stadium for the
Olympics.
You
mean to tell me, though, and this is L.A., you have Cal State this, Fullerton, a Berkeley. Like, any, you couldn't have kept it in the state there? Like, there are plenty of softball fields, Danger, just not all that seat 13,000.
Who's building it?
I'm just saying, though, like, yeah. You just 13,000 like, is the number.
Yes,
there.
And I also think to myself, like, we're talking about L.A., who didn't have a pro team for all those years because they didn't have anybody or any way of extracting public money to build them a stadium. They needed a billionaire, a multi-billionaire, to come in and build the stadium with his own money, and even that is being shared, and it's not like so... I just don't think there's any way they knew that there's no way. Oh, we need a softball stadium? Yeah, that ain't getting built. No, we're going to have to work with what we have.
I should know this. Maybe somebody helping me out at the Fan Rochester and X. Are they actually going? I think SoFi is hosting the opening and closing. Are they using the old Memorial Coliseum for anything?
I would imagine they're using it.
They should.
Something. I mean, you have to use your resources. You've got so many different events happening. And, hearing that an event was like, up in Northern California wouldn't be shocking to me. I mean, that's not an easy trek from Los Angeles, but Yeah, Oklahoma City's a little off the beaten path. Not quite the same.
The organizers are saying, well, you know what? We are going to make sure that everybody is there for the opening and the closing ceremonies, and we'll fly them back and forth.
Wow. It's weird. I mean, it's going to be here in a couple of weeks, right? We opening ceremony soon.
Same weekend as the Bills open, so last weekend in July.
All right, looking forward to it. Non-sports take for me, Gino. You mentioned how your engagement on X got picked up by a national website. I had an engagement on X with Dave Damashek. Now, if you don't know who Dave Damashek is, he's a sports personality, has a handful of podcasts, tight with Jimmy Kimmel. Does some stuff with Omaha Productions, and I had a little back and forth with Damashek on X this weekend. He does an annual Fruit of the Year, and I just had to let him know that after I made my trip to Wegmans on Saturday, the Rainier Cherry is hitting incredibly hard this summer, and it has to be considered a contender for Fruit of the Year. He ended up hitting me back with a very nice Envy Apple that he enjoyed a couple of days ago. Pleased to report that this borderline dynastic piece of produce is back and on track after a down 2023. That's your Fruit of the Year update here on the Sports Bar.
I think part of this is timing, right? Like whenever you got to get something at the peak here, correct?
For the Fruit of the Year?
For the Fruit of the Year.
Yes, right. I think
so.
I
mean, like that's also part of it.
I'm not discussing a Rainier Cherry in November.
No.
We're talking about it now, and I'm telling you, I had some this weekend, and it knocked me on my ass. It was so good. They're so good.
Problem, learning this from our buddy Evan Shute, proud sponsor of the Sports Bar. Shute's apple mill, like the cherries here because of our wet spring and the not good this year.
Not good this year. No, but the in the Pacific Northwest, they are kicking. So your Fruit of the Year update. The Envy Apple is one I have not enjoyed yet. I don't know what an Envy. What is the Envy is a style or brand of apple that I've yet to consume. But I imagine just hearing him talk about it, I mean, I'm intrigued.
If you get fresh fruit, I mean like real fruit, like strawberries right picked off there, it tastes like candy.
Nothing better.
Yeah.
Nothing. My mom used to, when we would go camping, she would pick wild raspberries, wild blueberries, wild blackberries. That's what I grew up on. It was fantastic. So I'm not saying I'm a fruit connoisseur. There are certainly people that know what they're doing more than I do. But the Rainier Cherry, my God, fantastic piece of fruit for the summer of 2024. Can't go wrong. We're going to be joined here in a couple minutes by Bruce Nolan. The Bruce exclusive. Buffalo Rumblings podcast. We got plenty of Buffalo Bills talk on the way with Bruce. He had a little bit of a hiatus with his pod and came back with the epistemological nightmare and a musical tune to mark his return, which I found enjoyable. No auto-tune detected to my keen ear. Bruce is great, has a lot of thoughts about how we consume many of the narratives that cross our feeds over the course of a regular season, off season. I mean, it's continuous.
Okay, so that's true. So what is the storyline that today we're like, oh, that 6 months from now we'll be like, oh, yeah, remember that on July 15th? You're kidding. We were talking about that on July 15th?
Things that you forget about,
yeah.
Right? The things that become a big thing that you kind of forget about, things move really, really fast. And it's hard for us as fans to become smarter or to believe or remember, I should say, all of the things that have happened over the course of a football season because of the constant changing of narratives. Also want to get Bruce's take on how this team may use their rookie running back Ray Davis behind James Cook, the usage change of James Cook from how he was used with Ken Dorsey as the offensive coordinator versus how Joe Brady used him at the end of the season, and what kind of an impact Ray Davis may have, maybe not early in the season, but at some point this season.
Well, that's the quiet upgrade, right? Because we liked DeMarco Murray and provided that spark. And we remember the wild catch, you know, that Josh Allen throwing, finding Murray down in that Kansas City game. But that's an upgrade. It's a fact. It's an upgrade.
Yeah, Latavius Murray at age 32 versus Ray Davis, rookie, I think is probably an upgrade. And Ty Johnson being kind of like the wild card in here, somebody who came on late last season and now finds himself on this roster again heading into camp as well. So we'll talk a little bit of the Bills' backfield. And I know that, you know, Gino, you consumed Bruce's most recent podcast where he discusses...
It's like, okay, the Brady offense, does it actually marry up with what Josh Allen's best skills are? And is that, do you want to accentuate more of the positive or just try to not make sure that the weaknesses aren't showing up? Evan, by the way, writing in, the envy apple is grown on the West Coast.
Okay. So
you can't get,
West Coast we won't only. Be getting it here unless it gets shipped to us.
Correct. So, dude.
That's
a bad take. Yeah, no, bad take. New York apples first, buddy.
Well, look, fine, but hearing that there's a thing called an envy apple, and I can't
now you're
have
envy.
It, now I'm envious.
Right.
Now I'm a little envious. Evan, can we work on something? Can we get some kind of a hybrid? What can we work on together? I'm game. Let's make our own apple. Let's come up with it. The sports bar blend. Whatever we have to do. I'm curious about that. The Bruce exclusive, Bruce Nolan. He's going to stop by the sports bar next. We'll continue to talk to Buffalo Bills with training camp coming a week from Wednesday at St. John Fisher University. Your call's always welcome at 866-432-6585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Corbin Burns of the Baltimore Orioles has been named as the starting pitcher for the American League. The All-Star game tomorrow night. Tonight, it's the Home Run Derby in Arlington, Texas. Buffalo Bills have a few joint practices with the Pittsburgh Steelers. This taking place in Pennsylvania. They'll be leading up to their second preseason game coming up on August 17th. Bills rookies reporting to St. John Fisher University tomorrow. We'll talk some Buffalo Bills football coming up next. Bruce Nolan, the Bruce exclusive podcast, joining us here in the Sports Bar. Sports is brought to you by GetMyPerks.com. Today, get half off to a concert at Batavia Downs. That's Peace Frog. Peace Frog, a Doors tribute band. That's coming up this Friday night. For this and other great deals, log on to GetMyPerks.com today. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
You can catch the Bruce exclusive wherever you pod. Bruce Nolan stopping by the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia to talk some Buffalo Bills. And Bruce, I didn't detect any auto-tune at the beginning of an epistemological nightmare where we were discussing just how quickly narratives move, so fast that we're not really able to get smarter as football fans. So why should all of us as fans this upcoming season make a point to do a better job remembering? Welcome back, Bruce. Good to have you on.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I think one of the things that's interesting about the NFL storyline is because all the games are condensed to Thursday to Sunday, and there's such a gap that exists between games, every game kind of has a tendency to take on its own storyline. And week to week, we know how significantly things change in the NFL. You hear coaches, you hear media members, you have general managers referring to this as a week-to-week league, and it is. But in the aggregate, those things end up starting to matter. But what happens is we devote a meaningful enough time of them in the short run, right? Over the small sample size, we devote Monday to Friday or Monday to Saturday talking about stories and writing articles about this one storyline, whatever the storyline is of that game. And then the second the ball's kicked off, we now have a new storyline. And so what we end up with is dozens of storylines over the course of a year. And then at the end of the year, we just forget them all, which is interesting because we feel like we're getting the downside to small sample size, and then we're getting the downside to large sample size too. So for me, I think the most important thing we can do is that you just kind of take notes, right? People journal for reasons like this. And so I'll go back and I'll listen to podcasts from week 6 or week 4 or week 7, and I'll make sure that the way I'm remembering something is actually the way it was.
Yeah, it's funny because you can apply this to the training camp, like one practice, even in others. We're looking forward to that. And Bruce, when I look back at some of the storylines from last year's camp, oh my gosh, who's going to be the middle linebacker? Could it be Baylen Specker? Or could we actually have Ryan Bates as the starting right guard? And Danger and I were discussing this before you came on. I mean, do you think we'll have storylines, and what may they be, that right now on July 15th, as we get ready for camp, that coming up 5-6 months from now, we won't even remember these storylines?
I do think that safety is going to be a big part of the starting storyline because of the vacuum that was created. Right off the bat, I think one of the first things we're going to think is, okay, how many first-team reps is Cole Bishop getting?
Right.
Right, that's what we're all going to be talking about, because I think whenever you have a position that has essentially been crystallized for so many years, and then all of a sudden, it's just not. And not even just one position, but two. And they work together as a tandem, and then you start talking about the way that they interplay between the two individual safety positions and individual changes in skill set. Are you going to have a defined box safety? Are they going to be completely interchangeable? I think that's going to be a big part of the narrative, because of the vacuum that has been created by the departure of Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde. The other thing that I think is going to be naturally a conversation, and it is every year, is going to be the top rookie, right? Whoever is the first pick, whether that's Roscoe Parrish in the second round or whether it's Josh Allen at the top of the first round, it doesn't matter. Whoever the first pick is, there's going to be a natural storyline about them. And I think with Keon Coleman, especially given how polarizing he was coming into the NFL draft and how polarizing of a pick it was, what is he being asked to do? How does he look? Is he able to separate when you see him in scrimmages? Is he getting locked up by Christian Benford? That's going to be a meaningful storyline because people are going to be wanting to look to see if their priors have been confirmed. Is he really that dominant X receiver? Is he the kind of player who can separate? And we don't really have a tendency to have a lot of patience in the NFL. So people are going to see the second they have an opportunity to get data that reinforces their priors, they're going to jump right on it. Because that's the exact same thing that we did with Josh Allen when he missed terribly in one clip on a training camp video that went viral. It's just the way it works. And those are the two storylines that I think you're going to see a lot of.
Yeah, kind of piggybacking off this, because in your latest podcast, you took a question here about the wide receivers and the shift here, perhaps, here. And this kind of goes to Joe Brady, I guess. Is Brady looking to do something different with this wide receiving core? Meaning, Josh Allen has always had these speedy receivers that get separation. See Diggs, see Beasley to a certain extent, see Gabe Davis running down the field. But now we have a different skill set. Are we making too much of it, or is this actually a good thing here for the Bills' offense here, Bruce?
I think it's good to have traits accounted for somewhere in players that are going to get meaningful playing time. I think that's a good thing. I think that having traits accounted for and going hunting for them and saying, hey, we want to make sure that we just kind of build it in the way that all of the traits are covered, right? We have some size. We have ball winners. We have separators. You want to make sure you have those things as a well-rounded group. But I think the key is being able to have those traits in somebody that's actually going to play, right? If you have a really good vertical skill set and that person's not active, it doesn't really matter because you don't actually have that skill set now. Like, you don't have that available to you. He's on the roster, sure. So you might look like you're checking things off, but you're not really checking things off because you don't have the availability to be able to access that trait. And so when you see coming out of the draft, one of my concerns was, who's threatened vertically on this team? Like, that's my concern. Who's going to threaten vertically? And then they went out and signed Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who I do believe is going to be a top four receiver for this team. And so when you look at this and you think to yourself, okay, you kind of check that box and you think he's going to be active, okay, you kind of accounted for what you need to account for. And so rather than just saying, I want interchangeability, instead you're saying, I want the breadth of skill sets to be accounted for somewhere in my top four or five receivers.
Bruce, let's talk a little bit about the backfield, because you talk about how narratives change from week to week, and we tend to forget things as they happen. And one of the things you pointed out that I've forgotten about was that James Cook actually didn't start a handful of games last year for the Buffalo Bills while you still had Dorsey as your offensive coordinator. So talk a little bit about his usage under Joe Brady, and furthermore, the impact that another rookie, Ray Davis, may have in that backfield here as the season progresses.
Yeah, you wonder a little bit if James Cook's overall usage was 100% planned, or if it was modified a little bit by the fact that you lost Damian Harris partway through the year, and you had to call up Ty Johnson from the practice squad, and Latavius Murray kind of lost his effectiveness. He was super effective in 2022, and you thought to yourself, wow, this guy's defying father time. And then, sure enough, it comes for all of us eventually. And so then Latavius Murray becomes ineffective. You call up Ty Johnson, and you think to yourself, did that really go as planned for the Buffalo Bills? Like, was this the way that it was supposed to go? Was he supposed to get this level of volume? Because they clearly didn't trust him to pass block, and especially at the end of the year. He was taking multiple games where he had zero pass blocking snaps. And so although I think he was very efficient, which is good, I keep going back to Sean McDermott and Devin Singletary and Frank Gore, senior, not junior. And so when you had a rookie Devin Singletary who was clearly outproducing and more effective than Frank Gore, you get done with a playoff game where you lose. And one of the questions is, why? Why are you giving Frank Gore these carries when Devin Singletary is clearly more effective? And even though the results and the data was pretty obvious to everybody, Sean McDermott said it's just not good for one person to carry the load. Right, that's just not, it's not philosophically what we want to do. And I wonder if that's changed meaningfully, because they leaned into James Cook a little bit more than they had previously leaned into Devin Singletary or Zach Moss. And you wonder if the addition of Ray Davis provides them that complementary skill set in the backfield that they go, okay, now it can be a little bit more like, you know, 40, 30, 30 three ways, or it can go 40, 40, 20, three ways, as opposed to, you know, 60, having one person have 60% of the snaps, something like that. So for me, I think that Ray Davis can do all those things, but the thing that, like, you know, we're going to run the ball, you can catch the ball in the backfield, but the thing that really stuck out to me was when Brandon Bean said that the thing that caught his eye was a block. because that's exactly the thing they didn't trust James Cook to do. And anybody who has been snake bitten in fantasy will tell you that if you have a running back that coaches don't trust to block, their snap count always gets capped. And you wonder if that's the case with James Cook this year. You wonder if there's everyone's just kind of expecting a kind of a blow up, but maybe, you know, maybe it's actually a little bit less in volume than it was previously.
Yeah, Bruce Nolan, who you can listen to, the Bruce exclusive podcast. So we saw this Bills offense kind of change over the last, you know, seven games of the season, as you know. And the buzzword we kept hearing from Sean McDermott himself, complementary football. And a lot of fans kind of take that to, hey, this is going to be more of a run first offense, and this is going to be more conservative. True or false, Bruce, Sean McDermott is a conservative coach?
False. Absolutely false. I think that what happens is we conflate defensive originated with conservative. We assume that if somebody is conservative, that means, you know, they're defensive originated. Of course they're conservative. They're going to believe in running the ball primarily and, you know, not going for it on fourth down and, you know, things like that. And just any metric you could use that would actually quantify aggressiveness, whether that's how, you know, win probability is gained from going for it, or whether that's neutral pass rate, or whether Sean McDermott, ever since Josh Allen has become the Josh Allen we know, which I would draw the line at 2020 as the year when he became the superstar quarterback that we all know and love, is that when he had Josh Allen, he has become aggressive. Now, there are instances before that. I go back to the snow game where you absolutely have to win. If you tie, you miss the playoffs against the Colts, and he punted. And I said, "This, I mean, that's a conservative move. That's a cripplingly conservative move." But then all of a sudden he gets an elite quarterback when Josh Allen becomes that, and that's not the guy he is anymore. It seems like it's not really conservative by nature. It was conservative because you didn't have a superstar, and now you do, and all those things have trended up and up and up and up and up. He's overly said over and over and over again, it's a passing league. The GM says it's a passing league. He says it's a passing league. He goes for it on fourth down. He has a high passing rate. I mean, I don't know what else. I don't know what else you use to quantify conservatism that could tell you that he is. So for me, it's one of those things where we don't like Sean McDermott, so we say he's conservative. Like, I think there's other things not to like about him. Like, we don't have to make up stuff. Right? There's plenty of stuff we can find if you don't like Sean McDermott that you can actually use. So that's what I would say.
Bruce, when we talk about how storylines and narratives change quickly, it was last year at this time. It was actually right after the draft last year that everybody was trying to defend the pick of Dalton Kincaid in the first round. And, you know, we saw Dalton Kincaid do what he did as a rookie and expect more in his second year. I want to get your take on what the Bills look like when they're in 12 personnel. Will we see more of that with a healthy Dawson Knox in 2024? And just your outlook for Kincaid this upcoming season as well, knowing that there's a vacancy of a lot of targets in this offense.
Chalk me up as one of the people who does have high expectations for Dalton Kincaid this year. And it's not just because he's a first-round pick. It's because it's funny, you know, a lot of the people who are primarily analytics-driven people look at Dalton Kincaid's numbers and spreadsheets and go, yeah, he was good, he was fine, you know, he did all right. And the people who are film watchers all look at Dalton Kincaid and go, oh my gosh, this guy is so good. And it's true, he is good at the footballs, is the word that I always use, the phrase I use to describe Dalton Kincaid. And I think that when you have this amount of targets vacating, I think that one of the other things that makes complementary football team is being able to attack the middle of the field, which was a big part of the Buffalo Bills' success in 2020 and 2021 when they had Cole Beasley in the middle of the field. And I think that you kind of lost a little bit of that juice there in the middle of the field over the last couple of years because you didn't really have that guy. I think Khalil Shakir had really helped with that down the stretch in 2023. And I would expect that's where the game is played nowadays, right? That's the thing that really defines good quarterback play is being able to attack the intermediate parts of the field and not just play along the sidelines. And so for me, I am someone who expects Dalton Kincaid to have a markedly bigger year. I've chalked him up as being predictively the person I think will lead the team in catches and yards. And I think that that's not necessarily a crazy hot take, given the fact that what we've seen from him is a very natural football player, right? He looks natural catching the ball. He has natural movement skills. He looks like a multi-sport athlete because he is a multi-sport athlete, and he's still newish to playing football. Like, it's just natural giftedness from Dalton Kincaid. When it comes to 12 and 11 personnel, people got to remember that this is still a primary 11 personnel offense. Like, we saw a lot more 12, and that's one of those narratives that kind of comes out of nowhere but isn't really supported by data. If you saw more 12, but you still saw markedly more 11 than you did 12 last year. Like, it was, you know, more of a 60-40 scenario for the Buffalo Bills. The Bills were actually 17th in the NFL in usage of 12 personnel last year. But based on the way we were talking about it, you would make it sound like that was the primary offense. But it wasn't really the primary offense. It was just more of it because that's where your talent lied. And I think that when you look at trying to get those skill sets on the field, like I mentioned after the first question, we were talking about trying to check traits off. I think when you look at that, the ability to have 12, the ability to say, you know, I don't think their third linebacker is very good. Let's lean into 12 for this particular game. And being able to do that, knowing that you have a really good athlete in Dawson Knox who can put strain on the fact that your third linebacker may not be the kind of player you want on the field, and being able to have a downhill runner like Ray Davis, where if you need to go Cowboys, you can go Cowboys. We all remember what happened against the Dallas Cowboys. Joe Brady flat out said it was not part of the plan to run that many times, but you know what? If you're averaging 6.5 yards a clip, let's go ahead and do it at that point. And being able to have the flexibility to do that, to say, I'm going to line up in this and let's see if it works. I'm just going to poke and prod at the defense. And if you poke it and it just, you know, your hand goes right through the wall, you're like, all right, let's keep going. And so I think that you're still going to have an 11 personnel meaningful part of this offense. But the idea that you can do more things just means you can beat more defenses.
Bruce Nolan, the Bruce exclusive podcast, check it out. One more for me, Bruce, and it's you brought up the safeties, and certainly that's going to be a storyline that we're going to be paying attention to. And what would help the safeties and help Christian Benford, everybody else in that secondary, would be a pass rush. I have questions about this pass rush. Sure, we like Ed Oliver. Sure, we like Greg Rousseau. Daquan Jones, when he was healthy, and I don't know what to expect out of Von Miller, but is there enough? Can you squeeze another year out of this group here, Bruce, to get this defense to where it needs to go to?
For a team that I know values pass rush as much as the Buffalo Bills do, the fact that there was no meaningful additions that you expect to come in and really take that pass rush up a tier on the outside, you added Casey Tuhill, you added Dwayne Smoot, you added Javon Solomon in fifth round. Those are your additions to the edge group. You think to yourself, you're really counting on the development of Gregory Rousseau. You're counting on the continued development of A.J. Epenesa. You're counting on a rebound from Von Miller. That's just a lot of ifs all at once. Now, to be fair, the last time we had conversations about Sean McDermott counting on ifs, it was counting on Ed Oliver to live up to a contract, which he did, and counting on Terrell Bernard to be good, which is amazing. So we're kind of on a good streak right now as far as, well, we're counting on it, and it kind of worked out. But eventually the bill comes due. And one of the things I think is underrated, and I kind of use it to kind of pacify myself because I think the same thing you do. I have concerns about this edge group because it's a lot of ifs. It's a lot of questions. I do think the defensive tackles are in a better spot than they've been in a while for the Buffalo Bills. I think that the four-man deep, five-man deep on the interior of the defensive line is probably better than it's been in recent memory for Sean McDermott, Buffalo Bills team. And that I'm excited about. And knowing the way he built his teams in Carolina, I wonder if he's looking to that and going, if I can get better production from the middle, then maybe the fact that we didn't inject any meaningful pieces or pieces that are expected to come in and really elevate the pass rush on the outside, maybe that'll be okay.
Bruce, I'm going to put you on the spot. After hearing your return to the Bruce exclusive, I'm going to ask you and Mrs. Nolan to score the sports bar. Can we get you to do a musical piece that we can start our show with? Because that's impressive. You hit every note, pal. I detected no autotune. Well done. Well executed.
Thank you. I don't know how auto-tune works, you know, because I'm used to recording for the podcast, and so I have a podcast mic and a podcast recording platform, and so I don't have any of the luxuries of any of the fun things to make me sound good. So unfortunately, I just got to kind of sing it a couple times and hope it sounds okay.
So if you're going to come to camp, and I don't know if you are or not, how far a drive would that be for you, Bruce?
Nice try, FBI.
Guy damn just it. Damn anonymous.
It. Anonymous.
Hidden under the cloak of darkness, but bringing some knowledge.
Okay, can we cross route? You're not living amongst us here in Rochester, correct?
No, I do not live in the greater Rochester, greater Buffalo. I don't live anywhere in Western New York at all.
Nice okay. try, FBI.
Nice guy.
Bruce, great having you on. Looking forward to talking to you throughout the course of the season, man. Keep up the great work.
Thanks so much for having me, folks.
You got it. There's Bruce. Bruce Nolan, the Bruce exclusive. You could get it wherever you get your podcast. Nice try, Gene. Nice try.
Yeah, if you're wondering, that is not like, you know, the character that Jim Carrey plays in Bruce Almighty.
No.
But he takes the name and the persona yep. and like even the clouds in the sky there.
You won't
like,
see a picture of Bruce anywhere. You won't, when Bruce does a podcast, if it's a video podcast, it's just the logo, the Bruce exclusive logo. It's you've never seen his face. Don't know where he is. He's like, who's that aggregator that's on, that NFL aggregator that's on
Dove Kleeman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we don't know who that guy is. But we see the work and we're like, oh, okay, that's... Now, Bruce does a great job, and the pod is fantastic.
Look, on our show, we're going to talk to reporters that are on the beat, but if you have good Bills content... Like, we're going to invite you on. You know,
quick story. When we first started this thing, God, almost 8 years ago now.
8 years, right.
I just remember seeing stuff cross my feed from, it was Buffalo Rumblings, right? It was a writer on Buffalo Rumblings. And every time I saw him, I'm like, well, this is really sharp. This is well written. And we should have this guy on our show. That guy was Chris Trapasso.
Yep.
Right? And Chris Trapasso now with CBS Sports, now you hear him guest hosting on One Bills Live. I mean, yeah, there are a lot of people out there that really know their stuff. Now, do you know your stuff and know how to present it in a way that can be informative and entertaining? That's the trick. And guys like Trapasso figured that out. And Bruce has figured it out as well. I'm telling you, the beginning of his first pod back, he and Mrs. Nolan do a musical number for the podcast. And when I heard it, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. This is insane. It was very well done. I was very impressed by it. My keen musical ear detected zero auto-tune. He hit every note. I felt like I was in a Broadway show listening to the Bruce exclusive.
Severe thunderstorm watch for the area. And look at this radar. It's all red and yellow. So wherever you're driving around, just be careful out there.
Be careful. We don't know how many inches of rain might come down.
Like danger.
Oh, no.
Very.
Count Hats goes here.
No, I very, very scary last week with the tornado. Did not want to, make light of.
Right, of course.
This is very, very interesting. We could get quarter, half, maybe 1 inch of rain. Be sure to watch the 13 VAM news tonight, both at 6
13
and
what?
11. 13 VAM.
VAM?
13 WHAM.
Ah, okay.
VAM.
VAM. Okay, gotcha.
VAM.
Thank you, Count Hats. Go.
VAM.
Is that a watch? We've got a watch.
It's a watch, but, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it came down hard yesterday afternoon. I looked out my backyard. I'm like, holy hell, we're going to get drilled. And we did. But, Gino, you got that fertilizer down last week. You listened to your boy.
Oh, yeah. No. Thing is, now I gotta get. I feel
you
like
gotta
I
mow mean, again.
I gotta mow. When yeah. I get, there's no mow tonight. I don't know if they're gonna be mowing tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So
well,
gonna get this all over again tomorrow.
Yeah. But now the lawn is looking green. The lawn's gonna get lush. Mother Nature's sprinkler system, along with a little help from your fertilizer, making it happen.
If you are watching right now on YouTube or Twitch, and you're outside of the Rochester area, it looks like night out here. We're talking like
it's dark.
The eclipse day. Yeah. It's weird.
We'll get to a happy hour next in the sports bar, and we'll get to a round of shots. Last call as well. You can join us at 866-4326. Lots to unpack. for both of our guests here as we talk Buffalo Bills with Bruce Nolan from the Bruce Exclusive just now, and Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, who joined us in the 3 o'clock hour. A couple of notes from around the NFL as well, including a Bills practice note here for the preseason that we'll get to. And again, your calls are always welcome. 585-866-4FAN or at the Fan Rochester if you want to engage with us on X.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.